As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Oh, yes, the sun is arising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to the Monday, April the 13th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. You might check out my little website, www.vocallocal.org, and see if there's anything there you haven't read yet. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news of sorts. Hard facts, certainly that. Workable solutions, perhaps. All for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal, a local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal, local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, or simply pick up the telephone and call now. For those with unlimited long distance or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 and join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free to this live broadcast at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email, as so many did over the weekend. Man, what a load of email I got this weekend. You can send those emails to me at host@vocallocal.org. That's host@vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. That's Box 96. Exeter Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. Big shout out to Micro 1650 AM and our friends in Owensville, broadcasting today on their low power systems. Again, the websites are vocallocal.org, ozarksvoter.info. The listener call-in number remains 1-866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open. Gold starts the week off with a bang, topping 890. Will it stay up there? It doesn't look like it. Just before showtime, it was already starting to come down a bit. Nevertheless, they have to start the week out on a bang, and they did. Let's go into those market reports for Monday, Easter Monday, April the 13th, 2009. Active trading in New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was trading up $15.30 to $896.10. Silver was up 39 cents to $12.72 per troy ounce. Platinum, the big winner. Pay attention to platinum, folks. It's moving. Platinum has tremendous upward potential. Up $54 so far today, $1,241 an ounce. Palladium, up $5. That's a big move for palladium. Will it hold it? I don't know. We'll see over the week. Trading at $237. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed Friday at 8,083.38 points. NASDAQ traded at 1,652.54. We'll see where it goes today. The USDX, that dollar index, off 51 basis points, trading down to 85.23. Crude oil was off 64 cents, trading at $51.60 a barrel. The lows and the highs in the spot market, 884.10 for the lows, 897.90 for the highs. So we're looking at another spread there of about $13 thereabouts. And year to year, gold is off $29.70 from last year for a 3.21% decline. And that spot market's going to close in just about 7 hours. So we'll see where all that goes on the other side of the short intermission here. We'll cover those foreign exchange rates, touch on gold just briefly again for those just joining us. And until then, hang on. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.org or Broadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back as we get the Monday, April the 13th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local kickstarted in this first hour. We started out the broadcast with a little bit of market news. We'll go back to that again. My name is William Roberts. Let's go into that a little bit again one more time just for those joining us. The gold today started off with a bang, jumped up $15.30, trading at $896.10. Silver bounced up about 39 cents to trade at 1272. Where these markets are going to go throughout the week, I don't know. Got up real early this morning, got on the web, looked around. A lot of mixed messages coming out in regards to the metals, as the market is very unstable at this time. We'll see where it all leads. Let's get into that foreign exchange rates, and before we close out on the gold, let me just say that I took a look at one of the traders out there this morning, found the Maple Leafs, the Canadian Maple Leafs, the 1 ounce gold coins running about 972.70, Kruger ends down about 959.25, and silver Maple Leafs running about $17 with a 3 to 4 week turnaround period. So this particular broker, which is a pretty large broker, is talking about real trouble getting the demand is really high, and getting to the orders and getting things out on time is slowing them down. Getting the product is difficult. Nevertheless, we can see that from the past months, we've been hearing about the markups, the premiums that the dealers are charging up to $100. We can see that those premiums have moved down a bit. If we've got spot running at 896.10, and you can pick up Maple Leafs for 972, the premium on that looks like about $80. And if you're looking at the South African Krugerrand, you're looking at about a $65 premium. So the premiums seem to be edging downward a little bit. Demand is still outstripping supply, however, so many brokers don't have anything to offer if you call in. Foreign exchange rates, we always watch those exchange rates. We keep hearing all the time now about the baskets of currencies. Well, here's a basket of currency that I've been following for us on a daily basis on this broadcast. The Canadian dollar moved up. So did the peso, so did the euro, so did the British pound. All little bits, but little bits matter when you start talking about billions and billions and trillions and trillions. Little teeny percentile moves can add up to money in a hurry. The Canadian dollar up, trading at 82 cents U.S. The Mexican peso finally comes up if you run your averages or round up correctly. The Mexican peso finally above 7 cents, now at 8 cents. So that's, pretty significant, really. The euro, $1.33 U.S., and you can buy British pounds today for $1.47 U.S. on the foreign exchange market. So all four of our indicators have moved up a little bit over the last week, over the weekend, the Ishtar weekend. Here's an article I pulled off Bloomberg for you this morning. Bernanke bets on Keynes as Meltzer seeing the 1970s-style inflation. This is an article, again, off Bloomberg, April 13th, Today's News by Rich Miller. Federal Reserve Chairman Benjamin Bernanke is siding with John Maynard Keynes against Milton Friedman by flooding the financial system with money. Now, if you've been listening to these broadcasts for any length of time, my summary, my take on the John Maynard Keynes economic model is basically the attempt to spend your way into prosperity. And I also shared with you from Milton Friedman's book, Free to Choose, quite a bit of information from that one. We can go back into his book again in the future. But you can see that it seems as though, well, I shouldn't put myself on a pedestal here, but I almost have to say that people have been listening to these broadcasts. Because whenever I'm talking about stuff, whether we're focusing on demand or whether we're talking about Keynes or whether we're talking about Friedman, this stuff just keeps coming out. Interestingly enough. So anyway, if history is any guide, Rich Miller writes, the effort will end in tears. Inflation will get higher than it was in the 1970s, says Alan Meltzer, the Fed historian and professor of political economy at the Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. And I don't believe that's Pittsburgh, Kansas, Dorothy. At the end of that decade, consumer prices rose at a year-over-year rate of about 13.3%. Now, if you know anything at all, if you've been following any of the broadcasts that are done by guys like Robert Chapman, for instance, and others, you'll hear that quite a number of the independent economists, you know, Robert Chapman is no slouch. He's been around at it for a long time. But he's been saying we've been looking at inflation rate of about 13% for some time. And so it should be no surprise that now finally these guys are coming out in the news talking about it too. Bernanke's gamble, continuing from the article, that the highest jobless rate in 25 years and the most idle factory capacity on record will hold down inflation is straight out of the late British economist Keynes. Should late Nobel Prize winner Friedman's dictum that, quote, inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon, close quote, prove right, the $1 trillion or more in liquidity Bernanke has pumped into the financial system by expanding the Fed's balance sheet may leave him to cope with surging consumer prices. I share this with you not so much to give you an education on economy, but it's to just look down the road a little bit. Look down the road just a little bit. Unless Benjamin Bernanke's gamble is correct, and if Nobel Prize-winning Friedman, Milton Friedman's dictum is wrong, then what we're looking at is surging consumer prices. Will it happen? I don't know. We'll have to follow that and see. I don't know about where you live, but things are not getting any cheaper in my grocery store. So far, back to the article, investors and economic data both back up the Bernanke-Keynes view or Keynes view. The market in Treasury inflation-protected securities as of April the 6th indicated long-term inflation expectations of 2.5%, below the 2.8% average inflation rate of the past 10 years. if you think that there has been a 2.8% average inflation rate in the past 10 years, then you got funnier math than I do. This is important. Figures to be published on April the 15th will probably show that the March consumer price index was unchanged from a year earlier, thanks to a steep decline in energy costs, according to economists surveyed by Bloomberg News. But don't you realize that our consumer price indexes never include the energy? So what are they going to do, add it in now just to make things look rosier? You know, the problem is, that what do they say? You know, figures don't lie, but liars figures. The problem is that we've got so many people in here monkeying around trying to justify the insanity that we, those of us who get up in the morning and study this sort of stuff and talk about it on the radio, have a difficult time figuring out what's actually happening. It's such a, it's like trying to predict a loaded slot machine or a rigged roulette wheel. Going to the article a little further here, it says increasing expectations. Still, the 2.5% expectation represents an increase from 2.1% at the end of last year. And Meltzer, he's 81 years old, who has written an 800-page history of the Fed's first 38 years and is now working on Volume 2, isn't alone in seeing a return of sky-high inflation as a result of Bernanke's policies. Where will it go? Who'll know? Round and round and round and around. Where will it stop? No one knows. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
And we're back once again, going into this article a little bit further. This one off Bloomberg by Rich Miller again. John, and I can't pronounce the fellow's name, he looks like Swedish, chief investment officer at the hedge fund Armored Wolf. A hedge fund office, Armored Wolf, in Aliso Viejo, California. I probably blew that one too. Not much on that Spanish terminology. It says the Fed is still in the early stages of its efforts to pump up the economy. Here's a quote. We've got at least 9 innings of reflation ahead of us, ultimately ending with probably double-digit inflation, he said in a Bloomberg television interview on the 6th. Investors are starting to protect themselves from the risk of faster price increases by buying TIPS. TIPS. T-I-P-S is another one of these acronyms. I'm sure that has to do with some of this toxic garbage. Pushing up the return on the securities to 6.1% in March. The best performance since the U.S. government introduced them in 1997, according to Merrill Lynch and Company index data. A ballooning balance sheet, here we go, a little bit more. Behind investors' caution, a ballooning federal balance sheet that has climbed $1.2 trillion in the past year to $2.09 trillion and expanded the nation's money supply. It is poised to increase even further after last month's Fed decision to buy an additional $1.15 trillion worth of assets, including $300 billion in Treasury securities. M2, a broad measure of the money supply that includes checking accounts and money market mutual funds, rose in the last 6 months at an annual rate of 14%. What's that telling us? M2, a broad measure of the money supply that includes checking account and money market mutual funds. I suppose they're trying to tell us that there's more money in checking accounts and that there's more money in money market mutual funds. A 14% increase, and that compares with an average of 16.3% increase during the last decade. Go look at your checkbook, folks. Do you have a 14% increase in your checking account balance? Meltzer says political pressure will prevent Bernanke, who is 55 years old, and fellow policymakers from withdrawing liquidity quickly enough as the economy recovers. Withdrawing liquidity quickly enough, that's pulling money back out of the market. That's similar to the pattern that occurred back in the 70s, he says. Then Chairman Arthur Burns allowed excessive money supply growth because he was unable or unwilling to resist pressure from President Richard Nixon's White House to hold down unemployment, leading to the great inflation of that era, he says. I don't know if there's anyone out in the listening audience that were alive and well and doing business in the 1970s and at that time period, but when the interest rates on everything, homeowners were looking at trying to refinance their homes or selling a new home, a new purchase, interest rates running past 20%, those were some interesting times. They also changed a lot of the rules on investing in rental properties. A lot of people that had properties following the William Nickerson, how I turned $1 million or $1,000 into $1 million in my spare time model, found themselves in desperate straits. A lot of people went broke in that period. A lot of businesses went out as well. So as it happened in the 70s, now we're going back into it in the year 2000. About every 30 years, they like to flush out all the money in our pockets into theirs. Back again to the article, squandered independence. Bernanke and fellow policymakers have, quote-unquote, squandered their independence by becoming involved in bailouts of financial firms and by taking long-term and illiquid assets onto their balance sheets, Meltzer said. They don't have the policy ability to control inflation. Dropping down in the article a bit here, they pay lip service to inflation being a monetary phenomenon, but they're too much concerned with the Keynesian explanation of inflation. So once again, it just goes back to your training, I guess, your schooling, who you mentored under, that sort of thing. And if they're using the John Maynard Keynes system, we're going to be having nothing but inflation. We need to look at the wisdom of Milton Friedman and others and get back into the idea of the Austrian school of economics, and maybe we would have some sense in these markets and start to get ourselves, our house in order. Oil prices. All that money is going to find a home, said to Ken Maryland, the president of Clearview Economics, LLC in Pepper Pike, Ohio. He sees oil prices increasing to $80, $90, $100 a barrel before the end of next year, from the $50 a barrel now. Now, again, I would just have to say, dear listeners, I know I've got a lot of listeners in the rural parts of America. it would be probably a pretty good time to get that big tank or two set out alongside the shop building someplace on your farm and fill it up with diesel. Take advantage of these prices while you can. Put some stabilizer there and get ready for it. But if the prices go running right back up to $80, $90, $100, $120 a barrel before the end of the year, it might involve real hardship when it comes to putting up hay and bringing in the crops, so to speak. Commodity prices may be prone to rise as the world economy recovers because tight credit and volatile pricing will discourage investment in new supplies, says Mark Zandi, the chief economist at Moody's. Seems like all of the economists are talking, everyone's speaking, but no one really has a handle on what to do about this derivative destruction that's going on, as we mentioned last week, with perhaps eight or as many as, well, at least seven or perhaps as many as eight out of every 10 people deriving all or most of their income from government sources, and with so many government employees on pensions and with their various and sundry insurance programs, they're driving this market. And government is not going to reduce its size voluntarily. Government is not going to get out of that, but they got involved, and I believe they did. And if you, there's a guy that's, let's see, Walter Burian, CAFRA man, got an interesting website. You might go up and take a look at that, his take. I'm just kind of repeating his take, but it aligns with mine in that I really think that, and I agree with him, I believe that the government employees and all of the various schools and all of the various, you know, hospitals and things like that, all the people that are working, getting their money from tax revenue, their fund managers are into this derivatives thing. They bought into it, hook, line, and sinker, and it's going to sinker, most likely. Anyway, let's set that one aside. Found another interesting article on the news this morning. This out of San Francisco, April the 10th, written by Brad Stone. It says the Skype founders seek to buy it back from eBay. I thought it was rather unusual. I'm talking to you over Skype right now. We do most all of the broadcasting here on Oracle Broadcasting over Skype. The hosts use Skype to call into the network. And on other networks as well, Skype has found its way into this voice over internet protocol in a big way. But here's the article. San Francisco, the European duo who created Skype and sold it to eBay for billions, may have another trick up their sleeve, buying it back. Niklas Zennström and Jonas Fries, the founders of Skype, have approached several private equity firms and are pooling their own substantial resources to make a bid for the internet calling service, say several people with knowledge of their plan. So this, again, it's kind of hearsay. It's third-party stories. Nevertheless, say several people, experts said. The two men sold Skype to eBay in 2005 for $2.6 billion. Kind of a nice way to get your life started, isn't it? Jumpstart your life in your 30s with $2.6 billion. And later received bonus payouts that increased the final price to $3.1 billion. I'd say they could probably pretty well just roll up their sleeve, get themselves a sailing yacht, and go around the world and spend the rest of their life in bliss. But no, once you get bit by the big dollar, you just want more. Since then, Mr. Zennström, a native of Sweden, and Mr. Fries of Denmark have created the venture capital firm Atomico, Atom Eco, and passed the online video service and backed the online video service to Joost. I don't know. Have you ever seen Joost? J-O-O-S-T? I know nothing about it. Both are based in London. Skype has more than 405 million registered users, and I could click on my screen and tell you how many millions are online right now. But we'll have to pick it up on the other side. Skype, going to buy, going to sell. Right back with us.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of Cutting Edge Talk Radio.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy, my name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned right here on Become Vocal Local. And I was going through a little bit about this Skype, the Skype founders seeking to buy it back from eBay. Looks like they're trying to raise money to do that. But I noticed all around this particular article and some of the various related links in the blogs, a lot of people would like to see them bring comeback as the owners of Skype because eBay hasn't done much with it. They think that the blogosphere believes that these guys have the mental power and the ingenuity and the creative spark necessary to take Skype to the next level. There's lots of things that are good about Skype, and there's some things about Skype that are still much in need of repair. But nevertheless, those are the news articles for today. Let's go into the more topical material. As I mentioned in the beginning of the broadcast, and we started in on this last week, we're talking about pressure groups, public relations, public opinion. We're going to take a little bit of history and education, bring those into the broadcast as well today. Start off with a couple more quotes from Edmund Burke. I don't know how many of you have ever read Edmund Burke or understand who he is or why we need to read him, but he was very influential in shaping the world around him in his day. He lived from 1729 to 1797. These are just a couple of quotes. Again, these are all out of the Oxford Dictionary of English Quotations. An interesting book to go to. It's like kind of like a go-to thing for quotes. Makes good talk radio. You know, you can sound so bright and snappy throughout these quotes. But like I say all the time on this broadcast, I'm trying not to put myself over to be anything really different from y'all. I tell you what my sources are, where I get the information, so that you can go and add this material to your own arsenal. But here's some quotes. Great men are the guideposts and the landmarks in the state. Great men are the guideposts and the landmarks in the state. And why shouldn't they be? I mean, do we really want to be led around by the Bowery Bum, Wild on Mad Dog 2020? I don't think so. Here's another quote. The only liberty I mean is a liberty connected with order. That not only exists along with order and virtue, but which cannot exist at all without them. So here he's talking about order out of chaos, you know, order out of chaos. He's talking about liberty being absolutely tied to some system of order. But liberty is a funny word. I don't know if you've got a good dictionary in your house. If you do, you might take it out and look at it. Look up the word liberty and then look up the word freedom. There's a difference in the two words. Liberty has a root there, a Latin root, liber, liberum, the free. But liberty is a liber, that's freedom, with a tie on the end of it. You're tied in liberty. In other words, you might recall from maybe movies you've seen in the past or from your own experience, if you're in the military, if you're in the Navy or something, you can go on liberty. You're on leave. You're on liberty from the ship or on liberty from the post. You can go and have within the realms of all of the rules that have been established for you, this is more back to that tie, within all of the rules and the limits that have been given to you, you have the ability to go into town, tie one on, chase the skirts, and that sort of stuff. See the sights, take some pictures, go in the country, whatever. But you're going to have to come back to the post or the base or the ship at a specific time. So there's a right, if you will, of free passage, and then there's a duty to return at another time. Freedom is the opposite of that. Freedom is a no strings, no holds bar type of a situation. So again, I'll just give this quote. The only liberty I mean is a liberty connected with order. In other words, there's a string, there's a tie that not only exists along with order and virtue, but which cannot exist at all without them. So it requires order and virtue in order to have liberty. And you can find that in the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That pursuit of happiness is out of virtue and beneficence. And then, of course, liberty is connected with that. You've got all three of them happening. Let's go down a little bit further. Again, we say bad laws are the worst sort of tyranny. So often we look at government and lay all of the blame on government when it's the bad laws, which are the worst source of tyranny. Here's another one. I have in general no very exalted opinion of the virtue of paper government. Paper government. Government needs to be more than just paper. It needs to be more than just paper. It needs to be more than just a piece of paper to be beneficial. And then again, he closes that one out. The confessions or the concessions of the weak are the concessions of fear. So you drive the weak through fear. Let's go on to the text. And then we're going back to the Politics of American Democracy, 5th edition, Irish and Prothrow. Find a little bit of interesting information in here wherever we can, whenever we can, so that we can understand some of what's happening politically. Well, there's a lot that's going to be happening this year politically, I can assure you of that. But let's go back into it again. He says, just picking up in the middle of the chapter, our pressure groups and public relations, our definition of political parties was tied to electoral competition so that we considered genuine parties to exist only in the procedural democracies. As you know, repeatedly, this philosophically radical talk host here advocates the abolition of the established two-party political system. But we can see from our writers here in this textbook on political science that the definition of political parties was tied to electoral competition. so that we consider genuine parties to exist only in the procedural democracies. And of course, this was never intended to be a democracy. That word has just kind of crept in the last century. But, continuing here, but pressure groups do not operate only or even primarily through electoral politics. So we're talking about the difference between political parties, pressure groups, and public relations. The three different aspects that drive so much of what is happening today. But we see that the pressure groups do not operate primarily through the electoral politics. The pressure groups, all of the thousands of groups that you've heard about, are not always paying attention really to politics. They're almost a phenomena unto themselves. Let's drop down a little bit further. Hence, signs of their activity can be found even in dictatorial regimes. So you're going to get pressure groups no matter what form of government that you're dealing with, whichever form you're looking at, whichever of the established governments on the planet you're under, these pressure groups are going to be found in them, and they're going to have an impact. In the Soviet Union, for example, educational pressure groups induced significant changes in a 1958 education reform proposal. In this case, the top leaders of the Communist Party appeared to be divided on the proposed reform. Unable to resolve their own conflict, they broadened its scope by involving policy groups concerned with education. And this is a restricted and subtle mode of pressure group performance compared with the open and blatant demands of U.S. pressure groups. Nevertheless, it is a case of pressure group participation in the policy process. So all of the various incentive groups we have in the United States and England and other places in Europe are not only found where there's these democracies, the social democracies, but they're found in China, they're found in the smallest village, they're found everywhere. And pressure groups, the power of opinion, public opinion, and cross currents of public opinion have much to do with shaping the political landscape, if you will. Let's go into it a little further here. Politics is a struggle amongst groups. In setting up the systems approach to American politics in Chapter 1, of course, we haven't studied all of Chapter 1 here yet. We emphasize that the quote-unquote system is not a mechanism dissociated from real live human beings. But of course, we found in studying this text where the authors define human beings. And you don't like it. I don't like it either. But unless a young person is politically socialized, in the eyes of these writers and in the eyes of the sociologists, they're not a human being. They're basically just a being, almost an animal. They're just being animal. And that's important. You go back to Ballantyne's dictionary, and human being is divine, is an animal. Of course, there's Homo sapien, the genus and the species. But for a very long time before that terminology came on the scene, it was just man and woman. You can find it in the Bible. Give you an idea there for a few thousand years of history. Anyway, are we human beings or are we men? Or are we mice? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website, again, is amazon.oraclebroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor. Absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
And we've returned once again. Yeah, question in the chat room in regards to political socialization to create a human being. As we shared with this audience from other documents, particularly the Bertram Schaffner report out of Germany, the ICD, the idea there behind political socialization is really turning young people, young and old alike, into trained animals, basically, dog training. It's a complex concept, but as we've said so many times before, our words are important, and words have meanings and senses, and from a legalistic standpoint, definitions of terms, but words have meanings and they're important, and words have a way of shaping our reality. And so if we can mold and craft the mind of young people through language and education, dog training, conditioned responses through for enough years, early on enough in their life, then we can have a politically socialized human being. Of course, the word human being can be easily understood as humming bees. Say you happen to be the lord of the castle, and you're up in the castle, and you're looking down on your little manor down there, and you hear all of this happy noise out there, all this chatter and buzzing. Maybe children fighting in the corner someplace and dogs barking and yapping and the lambs bleating and all of that. And it's kind of a humming bees, and the beehive plays an important aspect in symbology as well. So there's a lot to that, but I'll leave that symbolism and symbology to others. The main thing is that when you get it right out of the words of the social scientist here in this social science tech book, political science textbook, that until you have been politically socialized, you are just nothing really but an animal. You're not a human being yet. And so maybe we need to concentrate on man and woman, or male and female, homo sapiens, if you want to get scientific about it, and let the human being discussion fall to someone else. Going back here and going further into this discussion, want to get make a little bit more progress as we get this behind us. There's some other things that I'd like to go into. I think will be much more illuminating as well. But the authors write, perhaps the influence of pressure groups varies systematically from one area of policy to another. Theodore Lowy has attempted just such a reappraisal of domestic policy systems or arenas in his term. Sexters is now the modern use in the United States, clarifying policies according to their expected impacts on society. He identifies three functional areas of public policy: distribution, regulation, and redistribution. How do we get these three functional areas of public policy? First is in distribution. How do you get the information out? Well, if we start at the top, if you will, and work down, if you start at like the Brookings Institute, or you go over to the Tavistock Institute, or you go to the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilaterals, or any of these United Nations think tanks, these big meetings and things, we can start to distribute a line of reasoning into the discussion, into discourse, into public discussion. And then through a process of regulations, that's where you fire up your legislative bill drafting agencies and whatnot in the background. They then create the regulatory environment for this new idea to be possible. And then through redistribution, through the media, and through the education, and through the economic sectors, and the production sectors, and the labor sectors, and all of the various and sundry groups that are out there, you can then have clamoring for that regulation. And because you've already got the regulation there, the regulation was shaped for the policies that were originally distributed, then it all works together. Now, continuing from the article, it says, the term distributive was first coined to describe 19th century land policies in the United States. But you didn't know that. But Lowy uses it as synonymous with patronage in the broadest meaning of the term. A lot of what we do on this broadcast is to bring out these various meanings, words, terms, people, ideas, time, places, important junctures, thresholds, etc. And see a show of hands for how many people remember or know what patronage is. And what a corrosive element that is within these established two-party political systems. Patronage. They call it nepotism in some places, but it doesn't have to just be between and among your family and your extended family. It can also extend out to those that would support your candidacy and et cetera. So what is patronage? Patronage is basically payoff or back pay, paying back those that supported you into your office. So we've talked about all of the stuff that you need to understand about how does one become, you know, elected, a local elected official, and or how do you get appointed and so on. We've gone through a lot of that, understanding our county committees for both the Republican and the Democratic parties. But once the office, the prize has been obtained, once you've gotten into the proximity of power or actually are in possession of power, either locally at a lower level, if you will, although that can be quite an important position, or on a state level or for a national or international level, once you've achieved this position of power, then everybody that knows you is going to come to your office and want to take you out to lunch, and they're going to be looking for work. That's how we got into this situation where perhaps 7 or 8 out of every 10 work for the government. Patronage. But let's drop down a little further. He says, all decisions on the dispensing of fairly specific favors are thus distributive. So we're distributing this patronage. And patronage comes in many different forms, too. Then there's also all of the various and sundry grants in aid. And we see that locally. You see that locally in the newspaper when your local fire department gets a brand new Tonka toy fire truck. You see that locally when your local sheriff's department or your local police department gets a bunch of half tracks or tanks or military hardware or body armor and things like that. wherever it is attempted, the idea of becoming vocal local refuses to accept the international, federal, or the state grants in aid, realizing that whenever a people reach out for unearned shekels, the shackles of control are inevitably clamped on. But unfortunately, for so many people who are in office, they look at all of this various grant money as free money. Well, if we don't take it, someone else will. But they're not thinking long term. They're thinking short term. They're looking at their own limited self-interest, if you will. Even though they claim to be interested in their community, most of them are looking at getting reelected. Not all, but most. Probably well over 70%. So this is this idea of dispensing favors distributively, according to our authors here, including, quote, most contemporary public land and resource policies, rivers and harbors. And here the authors call pork barrel programs, defense procurement, research and development, labor, business and agricultural, clientele services, and the traditional tariff. Divisions in the distributive policy arena tend to be highly individualized, each more or less isolated from the other. We said in explaining our scheme of a political system in Chapter 1 that all policy decisions include both rewards and deprivations. It's the carrots and the sticks. But if we go back up and look at this list, it ought to get your hair to stand up. I understand this. Most contemporary public land and resource policies, rivers and harbors, pork barrel programs, defense procurement, R&D, labor, business, agriculture, clientele services, and the traditional tariff. Right there in that little list, we just talked about trillions and trillions of dollars in tax revenues as this country goes absolutely berserk on its spending spree, drunk on inflation. And inflation that will be, as the article that we read in the beginning, exceedingly difficult to handle, exceedingly difficult to manage. As the Keynesians war against the Friedmans, as the Keynesians war against the Austrian School of Economics and the wisdom of Adam Smith. Lots to it. Such is the case with distributive policies. Now you can do the same thing with policy. The deprived and the rewarded may never confront each other in conflict. If the deprived are those who get a smaller piece of the pie, or those who are out of this particular policy arena and who just support the distribution in their tax payments, they might not even have a sense of their deprivations. Well, that's it for the first hour. We'll be back on the other side and begin hour number two. Stay with us.
Folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
history will always remember those strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Monday, April the 13th, 2009, Easter Monday, if it would be, two-hour broadcast to become vocal local, coming to you Monday through Friday, here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. I'm on the web, little website, vocallocal.org. You might check it out today. My name is William Roberts. In the first hour of the broadcast, we went through the financial news, found out that Skype, the founders of Skype, are seeking to buy it back from eBay, went into that. Talked a little bit about Benjamin Bernanke, the Keynesian mania. The Keynesians are warring with the Friedmans at this time, trying to figure out what they need to be doing with the economy. Of course, we'll just let them all do what they're going to do. I'm sure it won't be good, but they will do what they're going to do. And then we went into and began and returned once again to this the politics of American democracy. We're in a section now where we're starting to get into the pork barreling. We're starting to talk about how things are, how power is distributed around inside of the political system, and that's where we're going there. And then later in this hour, we're going to go into the story of law from John Maxey Zane, pick up a little bit of history. And then, if time allows, we'll even go into A.V. Dicey and talk a little bit about education and some more of that free education, free money. But let's pick it right back up where we left off on the other side of this broadcast in the first hour. In the regulatory arena, again, deprivations are as clear as rewards. It's the carrot and the stick program. When Congress enacts a statute on labor management relations, the deprived party is as aware of his loss as the rewarded party is aware of his gains. Regulatory policies are distinguishable from distributive in that the regulatory decision involves a direct choice as to who will be indulged and who will be deprived. When we talk about the ins and the outs, we talk about throwing the rascals out. It's like giving the little hogs a chance to get their nose into the feeder. It changes on a regular basis. It's a turnstile, if you will. But because it's run by the established two-party political system, we the people don't really seem to see anything different. They always get the gold, we get the shaft, so to speak. But again, is it even fair in the year 2009 to talk about us and them? As I said before in the beginning of the broadcast, earlier in the broadcast, and yesterday, and will repeat again many times in the future, I genuinely think, having done quite a bit of research around this sort of thing, that somewhere between 7 and perhaps even as much as many as 8 out of every 10 people are actually receiving all or portions of their income from government sources, from taxes. And so there's a lot of pressure to get on the receiving end of these rewards, if you will, distributive rewards, those who will be indulged and those who will be deprived. Here, too, decisions tend to have specific and individual impact. Each decision, however, involves the application of a general standard which tends to carry over to others who are subject to the regulation. A regulatory policy is accordingly more nearly a general policy than the accumulation of an almost infinite number of individual decisions. All of that. Regulatory policies. When the S-CHIP bill, H.R. 2, was passed by Barry the Usurper and dropped a $24.75 tax on a pound of rolling tobacco, the have-nots were hurt worst. Generally speaking, I don't think you would find very many people in the upper echelons of society sitting around at their kitchen table rolling up the 6 or 8 or 10 smokes that they're going to have for the day out of rolling tobacco. They're not impacted. We'll be right back. Pick up the thread on the other side. Stay with us.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back here continuing the second hour of the Monday, April 13th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local if you just joined us from any of our affiliates and micro-broadcasters out there during the top of the hour breaks that they might have had. We were going into the continuing back to pressure groups and public relations a bit, trying to get our wrap our minds around some of the well-known things that happen in politics inside of these various political parties, inside of the local governments, inside of our state and federal government as well, so that maybe we can interact there on a more intelligent level. I know that when I go out into public meetings, you know, sometimes you hear such claptrap, it's enough to make you want to tear your hair, but of course, at my age, I don't dare tear any more hair out of my head. But nevertheless, it's almost a mind blower how little some of the people who are in positions of power actually understand about the system. And I can understand that. I ran for Washington State House of Representatives, District 1, Position 1, back in the early 80s when Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush were running for re-election. And I knew almost nothing about politics, the political system, or anything like that. But I was an endorsed candidate by the Republican Party. Got a fairly good but a lower rating than my opponent from the Women's League of Women's Voters. So you can go into politics and you can advance quite along and rapidly if you have good faith and you've got good voice and all that other stuff. You can move right along without knowing a blinking thing So it's a little amazing. But when we go out and we confront these fellows on the in the various meetings around, as they're actually looking at policies and regulatory policies that can alter our existence where we live, right where we are, then it behooves us to understand the system just a little bit better because we understand the right things to be looking for. It's like putting the correct tools in your toolbox to get the job done instead of always reaching for that old rusty 12-inch screwdriver and the ball-peen hammer or the 5-pound hammer. Instead of always reaching for a bigger hammer, sometimes we go into the toolbox and see that there might even be wrenches in there. And if necessary, a micrometer and gauges, feeler gauges, and other things in our toolbox besides that hammer and screwdriver technique or the old wire pliers. I know, I reach for them myself, but there are other tools in the box. So going into this again, the categories of impact are much broader, approaching several social classes. They are, crudely speaking, haves and have-nots, bigness and smallness, bourgeois and proletariat. Okay? These are almost timeless descriptions, the haves and the have-nots, bigness and smallness, bourgeois and proletariat, the entrepreneurs, the labor class, labor. There's a lot involved in all of this, labor verse. We can go back to Auguste Comte and look at it, or even to, you know, into Marie Strong. I've read that, the foreword to Agenda 21 from Earth Summit Rio. We look at the captains of finance and industry at the top of this pile, and then we look at the labor down at the bottom of the pile, or the unemployed, even worse, at the bottom of the pile, the haves and the have-nots, the bigness and the smallness. They say now that a small business is anybody that has 50 or more employees. That ain't small business to me. That's getting right along there. But that's just my perspective, looking from the smallness of my existence. But we have to understand that we're looking at global problems, and we need to affect local solutions, because neither you nor I, unless I have the most incredible listening audience in America, neither you nor I are connected at the upper echelons of society. And so the places where we can work is locally to block these various globalist agendas right where we are in our towns and our cities and our counties and in our states. More words towards the actual solution there. Anyway, back to Professor Lowry here. Professor Lowry's only examples of redistributive policies in the United States are the income tax and various quote-unquote welfare state programs. And he concedes that these are only mildly redistributive. Nevertheless, quote, the aims and the stakes involved, close quote, render these policies redistributive. So there's just more words, more things to understand. But we do point out this income tax and the various welfare state programs as redistribution. And you've heard many times the redistribution of wealth, the old Marxian concepts. The old socialist redistribution of wealth schemes. And it's a real tough situation that we find ourselves in, because for those maybe 2 or 3 or 4 out of every 10 that are actually generating true wealth, we have this parasitical hangers-on in the 7-8% ratio, 7 or 8 out of 10, hanging on to us. So if we could liken ourselves to Peter, and Peter is getting robbed to support Paul at 8%. Actually, 80% of the whole populace out of our little group of 10, perhaps 8 out of 10. Unfortunately, Peter has got such a burden laid upon him that he's losing interest in continuing to work. And if he quits working, or if he's bankrupted, or if he's thrown out of work, then he can't support all the parasites. And unfortunately for Paul and all the parasites, they perish. They no longer have a host to suck off of. And I think we're going to see more of that coming. Now, let's say the Benjamin Bernanke boys are able to work some kind of a miracle for the globalists and destroy our economy wholesale. And surely they can't be working for solutions if they keep looking for John Maynard Keynes. No person in their right mind, certainly not an economist. I mean, if you know the definition of economy, being frugal, wise, running your household properly. Certainly no economist could really logically stand behind the Keynesian philosophy. There's a vast difference between the things in the world that we need and the things in this world that we want. Our needs can be listed. Our wants are infinite. You're not going to be able to continue to spend your way into prosperity. It's a folly, and it's a wicked folly. And it's made even more wicked when we understand that the people at the top of the financial heap at the Federal Reserve and other places, Tim Geithner and others, are Keynesian. They don't care how much they spend as long as it's taking from somebody else and spending it on something from which they're going to gain. It's a redistribution of the wealth scheme, but it certainly brings us down to about the level of Bolivian peasants. If I'm talking to the general mom and dad, the mom and pops across America this morning. These financial economic angles don't work in the long haul. Easily proven. Even children can figure it out. If they are only given 25 cents for an allowance and they spend 25 cents and then they borrow a dime from their brother or their sister, they can only do that a couple of times before they get no allowance whatsoever. They're giving their allowance to pay back their brothers and their sisters. And that's about where we're at right now, economically, on a global scale. So we'll pick that up on the other side and continue. Stay right there. We'll be back.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Thank you.
Okay, let's set that aside for a moment. We'll come back to that discussion of pressure groups and public relations in a minute. I want to go back into something a little bit older than this. This is a very interesting book. It's a story of law. It was written by John Maxie Zane. It was quite revealing. This is the second edition. This was published by the Liberty Fund Books. It was originally published in 1927. It was republished by them in 1998. So you can see it's 1927s, anywhere from the 1500s up until about 1960. That makes up the bulk of most of my research material. I do have the later writers, the latest writers too, as well. Try and keep up with them, but I really prefer going into writing from people prior to the socialization, if you will, of the world, if I can, and then throughout the whole period of the rise of modern socialism, because it seems to be the most important reading and the most important research for the day. But this is interesting. I think if we can wrap our minds around it, I'll just start off in one part and then have to move forward a little bit out of it because it'd be just way too much for the broadcast. But here, again, out of the story of law, this is a tracking. You know, the history of law is jurisprudence. I probably couldn't defend myself against a parking ticket, but I've studied thousands of years of law, if you understand that. It's a little different. There's a philosophy of law, the history of law, and then there's the actual procedure that happens in a courtroom, I guess. Blessed if I know. I'd just as soon stay out of a courtroom if it's at all possible in my life. But here we go. Let's drop in here. The achievement of the Greeks in the fine arts of sculpture, painting, architecture, and in the beauty and richness of their literature still are in many ways unrivaled. And that's the truth. Their attainments in science, considering that they were without the telescope, the microscope, and other instruments of precision, were remarkable. They ascertained that the earth was round and that it revolved upon its axis, that it moved around the sun, and the axis of the earth was inclined to the plane in which it revolved around the sun. Both Aristotle and Plato, however, denied this fact and taught that the sun revolved around the earth. To the shame of Aristotle and Plato, really. But if you look at the Hebrew writings, they also believed that they were in the center of the universe, and that the whole universe revolved around Jerusalem, and so that just goes back to the ignorance and the arrogance of man, doesn't it? Sometimes we need to raise up our sights just a little bit. But Aristophanes, after their time, after the time of Aristotle and Plato, by a brilliant geometrical demonstration, approached quite nearly to the true circumference and the diameter of the earth. That's some pretty good geometry going on there. The fact that the moon revolved around the earth was well known. The diameter of the moon and the fact that it shone by reflecting the light of the sun and its distance from the earth were fairly well determined in their day. Anaxagoras, I can read that word, but it's hard to pronounce, taught that the sun was a molten mass. But the ignorant were then as impervious to ideas as they are now, and he was saved from an Athenian indictment for impiety only by the exertions of the great Pericles. Aristarchus, a little later than Aristophanes, approximated the size of the sun and its distance from the earth. The atomic theory of matter was suggested by Democritus, and the fact of gravitation was well known. Archimedes at Syracuse multiplied the use of the screw and the lever, and showed what a practical mathematician could do in the siege of Syracuse by the Romans. The scientific writings of Aristotle were, for that age, a marvelous collection of knowledge, some of it much mistaken. But through Aristotle, the Middle Ages obtained what it had for a scientific basis of thought. The world still teaches rules of grammar, as the Greeks first classified and arranged the elements of language. So we look back. We very carefully research our history, and then we come forward and look into the future. We know where we've been, so to speak. We know where we want to go into greater and greater freedom, less and less control, less and less coercion, less and less tyranny and despotism. And then we always have to find ourselves in the present, falling forward into the future. I'll drop down a little bit further here. Before Hammurabi ruled in Babylon, and perhaps 1,000 years before the Hebrew tribes possessed Palestine, a portion of the Mediterranean race closely allied to the Phoenicians and Philistines of the later times, had in the island of Crete attained much civilization and was carrying on a large trade with Egypt and Asia. This civilization, called Minoan, after hundreds of years, penetrated to and became diffused on the mainland of Greece and northward as far as Thessaly. Successive invasions of semi-civilized Achaeans, and after a few centuries, Ionians and Aeolians, and still later Dorians, wrecked this older civilization in the usual manner of Aryan barbarian invasions. And for those who follow music, you understand a little bit about what I was just saying. There's Aeolian, Aeolian, Dorian. These are various scales in music that are interesting in their own right. Music that are based on those scales produces unusual tone and a very interesting music indeed. Continuing and dropping down a little bit further here, says, but the preceding civilization enabled the barbarians to absorb some of that high culture, and a portion of the Greeks was on a high road toward later accomplishments. Of course, if you've read the Peloponnesian Wars, of which Thucydides was the historian, you can understand some of the reasons why Athens, Sparta, all that came to an end. Their whole civilization was torn by wars and rumors of wars endlessly. Dropping down a little bit further here, at Sparta was first noticed the tendency of property to accumulate in the possession of women and the looseness of female morals that seems to go with this development. So here, our author, John Maxie Zane, is looking back to this historical time in the past, a long time back, prior to the Christ, if you will, prior to the change in the calendar in the B.C. time period. And at Sparta was first noticed the tendency of property to accumulate in the possession of women the looseness of the female morals that seemed to go with that development. There was a change that happened there. And for all of the various and sundry think tanks and whatnot that are out there, looking at bringing about a transformation in this century, it helps to go back and they can glean little bits here, little bits there. Some people go back and try and glean the best. Others go back and glean out what was the worst. It's just a different point of view from Shabtai Zvi, the Shabtaians. We get the concept, from the greatest evil can come the greatest good. Of course, that was spread through Jakob Frank, the Francus, and find its way all the way into the modern times, all the way up to people like, I think, John Kerry and others, Jews who feign being Catholic or Christian. There's a lot to that. But nevertheless, some of these earlier civilizations have gone through periods much like ours. And you have to wonder whether it's by design. Continuing, dropping down, the story must be confined substantially to the single collection of four Ionic tribes living in villages inhabiting the hilltops around Athens and the small surrounding territory of Attica. These people arrived from the north with the ordinary barbarian Aryan institutions and customary laws and became a ruling class among the native inhabitants. And we'll go into that later this week. I want to start a new study, another direction during the broadcast. But it's an important part of our understanding that these people, again, the Attica, Athens, Hellenes, arrived from the north with the ordinary barbarian Aryan institutions and customary laws and became a ruling class among the native inhabitants. Very important stuff, really. We'll pick it up on the other side. Be right back. Stay with us.
America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, and so we are back once again. And no, gentlemen in this chat room, I'm not a Mason. Not even. Nevertheless, dropping down a little bit further here. We go back and understand that this important part right here. These people, again, we're talking about these Aryan tribes that came down into Attica, the Hellenes, and into Athens, Sparta, and the area. They arrived from the north with the ordinary barbarian Aryan institutions and customary laws, and then became a ruling class among the native inhabitants. So our law comes up out of our customs and the traditions of our people. We have certain customs and traditions, customary law. We call it common law for everyone that came from Western Europe and England and Ireland and Wales and Scotland and the common law. It rises up out of our history, out of antiquity, if you will. Really, truly common law comes or hails from time out of mind, is the way the jurisprudes say it. We can't remember when it wasn't this away. That kind of thing. And so these people that came in among the Greeks brought with them law and custom unusual to the indigenous people, and then they became the ruling class among the native inhabitants. Now, during the 1800s and all the way up until now, we've had several waves of emigres from Eastern Europe and from Eastern Western Europe, if you will, into the colonies and into our states. And they've gone in at various and sundry levels. They brought their customs with them, their own their own law, really, with them. And in many regards, they have become a ruling class amongst us, we the natives. Just as we came in to this continent, the North American continent, my ancestors been here long, well before the Constitution and the Declaration, the War for Independence, before all that. And rightly or wrongly, or for better or for worse, we became the ruling class, bringing our laws and our customs and our traditions and our ways of life over the indigenous people that we've encountered on the continent. Some people call them Indians, but that's a misnomer. The various tribes. Let's drop down a little bit further and see how this develops. Passing over the legends of Theseus and succeeding kings at Athens, we come to an oligarchy of well-born families who control the state. An oligarchy of well-born families who control the state. The Athenian political development took the course first of an overthrow of the oligarchs, followed by a popular government, which, as usual, reacted to a rule of tyrants. Then came the expulsion of the tyrants after they made Athens a leading state of Greece. The Persian Wars soon afterwards, with the glory of Marathon and Salami, placed Athens at the head of Greece. The great commerce of the Ionian cities soon passed to Athens. This city then for over 100 years, in spite of its misfortunes, was the chief depot of Eastern commerce. So much as the calendar pages change, just like leaves blowing across the yard in autumn, we just repeat old patterns over and over and over again. And our founders were well aware of that, and they had studied because of the encyclopedists, because of Diderot, because of the people who, ever since St. Thomas Aquinas, had started coming on, and really we need to look at the Mohammedans for this as well in Spain. But when Western man started to meet Eastern thinking, and the ancients' writings started to come on board, once again we had this quantum mental shift in thinking, moving away from the lords of the manor and the high priests of the church, coming to a new place in development of our minds and in our lives. And I think we are approaching that now. August Comte called it the positive stage out of the three stages of development. The positive stage. In August Comte's philosophy, he looked back in history and he thought he saw three different stages of man's development. The first is ruled by the priests. The second stage is a metaphysical stage where the priests lose a lot of their sway and we go into metaphysical arguments. The third stage, the positive stage, is based on reason, if you will, on science, if you must, locking almost into a five-sense existence and closing out all consideration of the high priest time or the metaphysical arguments, and we go into this new relative argument where everything is relative and that is the only absolute. That's August Comte's phrase. And we very well are in that phase. Positivism has had a considerable influence on our lives, whether you're aware of positivism or whether you are not. So we're looking at back to this time, long time ago. But here's a interesting addition to this. The customary laws handed down by spoken speech were in the hands of the oligarchs, as was also the administration of the laws. And this situation met the demand of the lower classes, gaining in strength, that these laws should be put into written form, so that they should no longer be the sole possession of the well-born. It was a widespread notion among the Greeks that the laws, if put into writing, became the aid and the possession of many. And here's a quote. With written laws, the humblest in the state is sure of equal justice with the great. And this same idea appeared later among the Romans. The demand was met by the Code of Draco. Draco, draconian. The Code of Draco, draconian. It also was demanded that the nobles should no longer monopolize the administration of the laws and sit in judgment in the courts. To ensure this result, the obvious thing was to use what they had. This is the instructive course of all men, to patch and use the ancestral robe of custom. Of custom. The ancestral robe. So perhaps today we have those that are patching this ancestral robe. As I advocate the restoration of our constitutionally limited republican form of representative government, am I but putting patches on an ancestral robe? I think that the Constitution, and we can get into what a Constitution is as these broadcasts continue, but if we can go back to that point, and I think that in some cases it may be possible, and it may be just completely impossible, but I think if we apply ourselves, we could go to that point. At least if we went to that point, then we might be able to alter the future course of events politically and get a little bit more reason into our arguments. But as we've gotten now, there no longer is no framework. There is no format. There's nothing that we can look to understand anything about what the oligarchs are doing. And even having these laws written, when the laws, the rules, the regulations, the administration, the policies, etc., when they run to the hundreds and hundreds of pages, who will read it? It may as well not even be written down if it's going to be that obtuse. But again, we come back and let's understand a little bit more about education, because this is education, this political socialization that turns man and woman, a young man and a young woman, even children, if you will, into these human beings. And we can understand that in 1870, it wasn't until, and now I'm referring again to the A.V. Dicey's book, Law and Public Opinion, A.V. Dicey, very important man, in his lectures that he gave here stateside. In 1870, the education of the English poor became for the first time the direct concern of the nation, reiterating from what we said last week. And the state attempted to enforce upon parents, though to a very limited extent, the obligation of providing their children with elementary knowledge. And insofar as the parents' own expense, that they were compellable to pay school fees. If the parents could afford it, they were compelled to pay. In 1876, this duty of the parents received distinct legal recognition, and in 1880, the compulsory attendance of children at school was for the first time made universal. Compulsory education. When I think back through the years that I went to school, I took a lot of classes that I really wasn't mentally prepared to take. Perhaps I was taking it too early because of compulsive education. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
And so we've returned, and in this last segment, we're going to continue a little bit further on this A.V. Dicey. This is out of a lecture that he gave, The Period of Collectivism. He taught this a long time back, not all that long ago, but it was all about, most of these talks were about England in the 19th century, and England in the 19th century is so important that I spent a lot of time looking at it. But A.V. Dicey was quite the fellow, a very difficult man to read, a very dry person. He put all of his lecture attendees to sleep probably on a regular basis. He lived from 1835 to 1922. In 1905, when he was 70, and around in that time, he wrote Law and Opinion near the end of his life. So it was about 1905. He was an older man. But this is one of his most important works, and I enjoy having it in my library. I enjoy reading it. But in 1891, returning to this lecture, in 1891, parents of children compelled to attend school were freed from the duty of paying school fees, and elementary education became what is called free. And if you look in your state constitution, as I have here in the state of Missouri, a free but compulsory education is established. It's for the general diffusion of knowledge. And as I've said in the past, you know, words, we have to check our words so carefully sometimes, but what is a diffuser? If you have a lighting system that you're designing for, you know, an office building, for instance, you put in fluorescent lighting and you work out the number of watts, you know, your lumens, you illuminate the room. But then you come in and you put in diffusers to fragment the light so that it's not so A, stark, or B, too bright, and it diffuses it, but it also spreads the light out into the smallest corners of the room. But in the process of diffusing that light, you diminish the brilliance. And that, I'm afraid, is part of the idea behind a compulsory, free attendance public education system. It diffuses the brilliance of the young minds. It makes a uniformitism or uniformitarianism possible. The idea of universal learning. But as we were going into the break, sometimes, because of this compulsory education, young people are involved in school, taking courses of study that really are not timely. They're at the wrong time, perhaps, in their life. I was not the least bit interested in mathematics, nor any good at it, until I was older. I wasn't very interested in English either, until I was older, much older. But as it turns out, math was one in high school and in grade school, math was one of my worst subjects. But it turned out that math became the centerpiece of almost my entire working experience. So what was originally not something that I was good at or interested in when I was really young became something that was driving everything that I was doing later. So is compulsory education a good thing or not? Is a free education a good thing or is it not? And we went there when we looked at Friedman's work. We talked about education. Let's pick up a little bit more from this wisdom of Dicey here. He says, it shall be the duty of the parent of every child to cause such child to receive efficient elementary instruction in reading, writing, and arithmetic. And if such parent shall fail to perform such duty, he shall be liable to such orders and penalties as are provided by the Act. And that would be the Elementary Education Act of 1876. And so once again, we look back at the carrots and the sticks. It's not an option. Elementary instruction in reading, writing, and arithmetic was a requisite. Now, we can all understand that reading, writing, and arithmetic are valuable skills. It makes it very difficult to facilitate life itself in this society that we find ourselves in if you're deficient in any of those three. But at the same time, when should a child begin to study these things? And if they don't demonstrate any kind of an interest in them at this time, maybe we need to come back and, as they say, revisit it later. Food for thought. All this means, in the first place, that A, who educates his children at his own expense or has no children to educate, is compelled to pay for the education of the children B, who, though it may be having means to pay for it, prefers that the payment should come from the pockets of his neighbor. And now, in that one sentence, we've gone right back into the understanding of Milton Friedman's teaching on economics and the Austrian school of economics. A's and B's, reaching into someone else's pocket to get a benefit for yourself. It's like I like to say, socialism is a lot like pregnancy. Hard to be just a little bit pregnant. As long as the public largesse, as long as the entitlements are falling in your favor, you could be all for them. But when you realize that you're the one that's having to pay for them, then maybe you're not so excited anymore. Socialism in almost all of its manifestations is a real cancer in the body politic. It advances something that our founders were dead set opposed to. Maybe one of these days I'll read that interesting session by Davy Crockett in regards to getting upbraided by his constituents for him voting for a measure that would give money to people in Washington whose homes were burnt out. Makes for a good read, gives you some understanding about this. Helped him to turn around so that he could understand that this was not a good thing. It tends, in the second place, as far as merely elementary education goes, to place the children of the rich and of the poor, of the provident and the improvident, on something like an equal footing. It aims, in short, at the equalization of advantages. The establishment of free education is conclusive proof that in one sphere of social life, the old arguments of individualism have lost their practical cogency. Here and there, you may still hear it argued that a father is as much bound in duty to provide his own children at his own expense with the necessary knowledge as with necessary food and clothing, while the duty of the taxpayer is to pay for the education is no greater than the obligation to pay for the feeding of children whose parents are not paupers. But then he takes this away. But this line of reasoning meets with no response except, indeed, either from some rigid economist who adheres to doctrines which, true or false, are derided as obsolete shibboleths, or from philanthropists who, entertaining whether consciously or not, ideas belonging to socialism accept the premises pressed upon them by individualists, but draw the inference that the state is bound to give the children for whose education is responsible the breakfasts or dinners which will enable them to profit by instruction. It just gets worse. You see, why don't you go in down this trail? But Dicey is playing a real dicey line here in his reasoning. He's neither warm nor hot. He's trying to take a lukewarm approach, largely because he's deeply involved in the educational process He's nearing the end of his life, and he spent his whole life teaching. This is part of the problem where we have almost everybody that's involved in education a insider. College graduates, college professors, college administrators, all working on the various labor groups, or teachers' unions, curriculum directors. All of those people are the very ones that are setting policy for education. And for, as Friedman painted very carefully in his book, Free to Choose, ever since we went into this National Education Administration or Association, the NEA, and then for the last 100 years, the administrative costs of education have mushroomed. The children in the classrooms, and I could paint vivid examples from a school building, a college or high school complex that I did the layout on. 90% of that entire $22.2 million complex had to do with things other than classrooms. The classrooms are just kind of like an afterthought thrown in the basement of a 2.5-story building. The administrative complex is all up in the sky, up on the upper levels, and the glass, and the atriums, and all of that. And the children were shoved down in the basement, windowless rooms, all under artificial lighting throughout the day. Grim, really grim, working on that building. I decided at that time I was just about finished with it as far as working in that area any longer. But nevertheless, these are just some ideas, this contrast between individualism and collectivism. But individualism in itself is a huge study, as is collectivism. There's a lot of philosophy involved in individualism. Every time we find these isms, then we know that we're dealing with belief systems, and we need to go back in and we need to find the founders and find their faith statements before we embrace them as our own. Folks, we'll be back again tomorrow. Pick it up. Hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. And stay tuned. Lots of broadcasting available right here on Oracle. We'll see you tomorrow.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.